This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story.
Ah, wow, Mike. Top stories of the day.
What?
Well, my voice has been compromised this week. Let's just say that. I'm growing up, buddy.
That's what I'm going to say every time my voice cracks. Sorry, guys. My voice has been compromised.
Yeah, it has been compromised. I'm ready for this one. The dates for the first 9-game SEC schedule were released Thursday. And all eyes will be on September 19th, Michael, who is eating a stick of beef jerky back there. No shock to anyone that listens. When Lane Kiffin and LSU return to Ole Miss after what ESPN calls the dramatic exit for Baton Rouge last month. I'm ready for that, Mike. Do you think they'll cheer him when he...
They're going to be a boo.
Oh, he's going to have to hire extra security, don't you think? Yeah, be careful there.
Where is it? Ole Miss?
That'll be in Ole Miss, yeah.
Oh, they're not going to hire security. They want something to happen.
Well, he will hire security. Probably should. Due to injuries, the New York Jets are reaching to the bottom of their quarterback depth chart. Michael, do you know who Brady Cook is? Great first name. Brady Cook's going to be starting. He is, I think he was a Missouri quarterback. You excited about Brady Cook?
So he's not the only New York quarterback that wants to cook?
What?
Let me cook.
No. That's just too easy, man. You're slightly better than that.
Am I?
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, okay? We're lucky it hasn't happened more. But with Tyrod Taylor being out, Justin Fields out, Brady Cook's going to get the start for the New York Football Jets. Michael, do you want to know the top, according to ESPN, the top NFL head coach candidates for 2026 are? Do you want to know who number one is?
Please tell me it's not one of our coordinators.
I will please not tell you that. Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, is the number one prospect. Is he going to be the head coach of the New York Football Giants?
I'd rather him be the head coach of the New York Football Giants than the Las Vegas Football Raiders or Las Vegas Barely Football
Raiders.
Well,
here's the kicker. Quarterback coach Davis Webb is also rumored to get an upgrade and become an offensive coordinator, also potentially with the Giants. Vance Joseph's days, Davis Webb's days, may be numbered for the Broncos. Listen, man, at the beginning of the season, Mike, I told you this was going to happen. Vance Joseph was kind of in the pressure cooker, one way or the other, at least his time being here. Because if this defense underachieves, then you're going to look at it and say, man, you got the personnel. You're signing all the guys. Why aren't you that good? And then the flip side was, if they are pretty good, like they were last year, then he's gone. What a great... Honestly, though, can we just take some time to appreciate Vance Joseph, Michael? This guy was fired from the Broncos organization. Comes back, swallows all of his pride. Now, I know he's obviously got the roots with the Buffs, but, dude, he was... Everybody made fun of Vance Joseph here.
I didn't.
Well, you don't make fun of anybody that was a Bronco. If
I was bothered by some of those calls that he made.
He
didn't. Let's kick a field goal at the exact wrong time.
Yeah, but he didn't have the guys. He never got the quarterback.
Yeah, it was a whole team lack
of
effort.
To be fair, Mike, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, and to be honest, man, even Nathaniel Hackett.
Who couldn't hack it.
They were all put in a really bad spot.
Yeah, but Nathaniel Hackett,
Russell Wilson, though. I mean, look how good Russell Wilson's been since his Broncos day. He's not good, Mike. They got a fake Russell Wilson. So to be fair, Hackett never stood a chance, man. We all witnessed the downfall of Russell Wilson, and it began in Denver. His days of being a top quarterback ended the moment he took off that Seattle Seahawks jersey and became a Bronco. Who did Vic Fangio have? Now, he didn't handle it well, but Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. Yeah, let's give the most conservative type of head coach a gunslinging quarterback like Drew Locke. Yeah, that makes sense, John Elway. It was a terrible pairing. I like Drew Locke, actually, but I think they ruined him. That always leads us to that conversation of there's probably a lot of great players, a lot of great quarterbacks that got into the wrong system and never really realized their full potential. That happens a lot in the league, and I think it happened with Drew Locke.
That's why if I was a quarterback, I would not want to be drafted in the first round. I would like to be drafted in the second round because I don't want to go to the Cleveland Browns, the Raiders, the Seahawks back when they sucked. Like, I don't want to go to any of the New York teams.
Well, then you'd be forfeiting a lot of money. You want to be first rounder. You want to be first pick. You get a lot more money.
Yeah, you get a lot more money, and then you have a crappy career because you go to a crappy team.
Who did Vance have as his quarterbacks? Those were guys like Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. Who else was on that list for him? Was he Case Keenum? I can't remember. I think he was Case Keenum.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, he had some bad. I think did he get Brock too? Did he get Brock Osweiler back? Yeah, because he came back fairly because he did not last long. He went to Houston. That didn't work out. He got paid though.
Like, oh, this was an expensive mistake.
He got paid though, and then he goes to Cleveland, and then ended up with the Broncos. Remember, John always like we got him back in quarterback rehab. Aside from Peyton Manning, John Elway's quarterbacks just have not been very good. Man, you know, his first round pick was Paxton Lynch. And he drafted Drew Locke to put with Vic Fangio.
I have to defend Paxton because he was really good at football when he was playing Madden.
He was really tall, too.
Yes.
Very tall. No, I just think, like, good for Vance Joseph, man. Like, not a lot of guys are coming back to Denver and doing this. And then there was drama at the end, kind of, you know, that Sean Payton and Vance were maybe at odds at the end of the season. Whatever happened there, I don't know to what extent, but there was some guys swallowing pride there, and they were able to work together, and now look at this defense, who's just freaking good. They're one of the best. They've been one of the best since he's been there. You know, obviously the first five games or so leading up to that Miami game were bad, and then they stayed the course, and Vance Joseph has been amazing. Eastside Chris, unfortunately, God bless Elway, VJ was at the mercy of upper management. Did Vance Joseph get a raw deal here when he was the head coach of the Broncos?
I think all the coaches had kind of a raw deal. And look.
Yeah, well, and you had the ownership thing, and it was the trust or whatever, so it was all over the place, man.
It was that, and also, they had a lot of injuries. There were a lot. The Broncos went through some years where they had half a roster. And I know you shouldn't make that excuse.
No, that wasn't the reason.
They did.
That wasn't the reason.
That was part of the reason.
The primary reason was you didn't have a quarterback, Mike. That
was also part of the
reason. You never had that guy. I think
it was. But you can't play with like half a roster. Like your defense is going to suck when like a third of them are out, and then half of them are out, and then some people come back, and then, the others are gone.
I think they've been really fortunate the last 2 years. They haven't had a lot. I saw.
And some of it is the ownership. Yeah. Like, let's take care of these players by having a field that's good.
Yeah, it's the last 2 years, man, have, knock on wood, defensively, they've stayed pretty healthy. And they've that's why they've been able to have that top-tier unit. The J.K. Dobbins injury, we kind of thought maybe that could happen.
Well, that's because there's a history of that happening.
Very big history of injuries with J.K. Dobbins, which will be very fascinating to me if they bring him back next season. I think they should. I just really hope that this next season, it's maybe we start to see R.J. Harvey be the guy, and then, you know, it's going to be J.K. Dobbins down the road. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Smitty says, friction between Sean and VJ? Yeah, that will happen when your defense gives up 70 versus Miami. No, I'm talking about last year even. Because remember, Denver's defense hit a little bump in the road once they hit December. And I think there was friction there. I don't know that there was that much friction after the Miami game. Because it seemed like Sean was, like, going to bat for him for Vance after that. Because a lot of people wanted Vance Joseph out of town after the Dolphins game.
I didn't. I wanted a few players out of town because it didn't look like Vance Joseph was being lazy. It looked like a few players were being lazy.
Yeah, I saw this too. Did you see that one of the top stories of the day? We didn't hit it yet, but T.J. Watt. He just had a surgery for a collapsed lung. Wow! Successful surgery to repair a partially collapsed lung that he sustained after a dry needling session at the team practice facility on Wednesday. J.J. Watt said in a statement, he posted it to social media, he and his family are very appreciative of everyone's kind words and well wishes. Dry needling. Do you know what dry needling is? It's a treatment used for pain and movement issues associated with myofascial trigger points. To perform this treatment, providers typically insert thin needles into or near your trigger points to stimulate muscles, which causes them to contract or twitch and helps to relieve pain and improve range of motion.
That sounds like some kind of Eastern medicine acupuncture crap that I don't believe in.
You don't believe in a lot of things. Watt was hospitalized Wednesday after receiving treatment at the facility, and he remained there Thursday for imaging and tests before the surgery. Wow. Now, that was, you remember when Tyrod Taylor, wasn't he with the Chargers at that point, like in 2020? He had a punctured lung when a doctor tried to do, administer, pain medication for fractured ribs pregame. He was medically returned a month after the puncture. That was a wild time, too. 18 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright's going to join us. Let's talk Broncos and Packers coming up. Get his thoughts on a monster game. You know, Denver's 11-2. I think if you are asking how good are the Broncos, I think that's still a fair question. But they are slowly but surely proving the doubters wrong. It's weird you have a doubters at 11-2, but it is what it is. It's the whole show powered by Chevron Mike. Let's take a short break. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in on this Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. I want to thank Renaissance Insurance. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for clients. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825, or visit team-rig.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Broncos and the Packers going at it this weekend. Josh Jacobs is questionable in this game. What's interesting about the Packers, Mike, is they on the offensive side, like, they don't have one dude that just really sticks out. Josh Jacobs, obviously, has been very good, and he's certainly had the Broncos' numbers over the years. But they don't have like a single player that I know Vance Joseph was talking to media about that too. Like that can provide a bit of a challenge too when there's not that one guy. Because if you can say, hey, we can shut him down, then the drop from player A to player B is pretty significant. You know, with this receiving core, Romeo Doubs, it's all spread out. He's got 41 catches for 542 yards. Tucker Kraft, who's not going to play in this game, he's on IR, but he had at tight end, 32 receptions for 489 yards and 6 touchdowns. Christian Watson, who was coming up, he came back in October to the team after a torn ACL. He's really freaking good. He's only played in 7 games this season. He has 25 receptions for 452 yards and 5 touchdowns already. So he's one to watch out for. There's 5 or 6 guys, Mike. Luke Musgrave at tight end's pretty good. 17 receptions for him. No touchdowns yet. He's one you got to watch out for in this matchup. Broncos kind of do struggle against tight ends. But this isn't like the Raiders where it's just Brock Bowers and everybody else. This isn't, it's not like the Bengals when you just had Ja'Marr Chase to worry about because I think Higgins, was he out in that game? No, I think he played in that game. But you had like 2 guys to worry about. Green Bay is just pretty deep. They don't have like one of those outstanding guys that's going to be big time fantasy number any given Sunday. They have a bunch of any given Sunday kind of guys though that are randomly, Doubs could be the man. Watson could be the man. Luke Musgrave could be the man. So it does present a bit of a different challenge. And for Jordan Love to kind of spread it out, navigate through all that, look at his numbers, Michael. 3,000 yards already, 22 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. He's got a quarterback rating of 105.4. He kind of makes this whole thing go. And if they have a healthy Josh Jacobs, who again is listed as questionable, that provides a very tricky matchup for this Denver defense. Maybe one of the trickier, I'm not necessarily saying this is the best offense, but one of the trickier offenses the Broncos have faced all season. And this is a team that believes they can take that next step, that they can be a true Super Bowl contender. It's a monster game for them trying to keep pace with the Los Angeles Rams. So, Mike's game of the week. It's a rematch of Super Bowl 32. So obviously that just seeing the Packers and the Broncos go against each other, you can't help but always think back on Super Bowl 32, the Broncos' first Super Bowl victory. It's got everything.
It's my favorite game of any sport of all time. I still get chills every time I see the replay of John Elway spinning around
the helicopter.
John Elway knocking the ball down.
Yeah, John Mobley gets the final play, knocks the ball down. Denver wins. Yeah, dude, that was crazy, wasn't it? What a time to be alive. I mean, Elway, he seemed so old. Didn't Elway seem so old that year? What was he, 36, 38? He seemed
older the next year.
Yeah, he's like, then you see like Tom Brady. Now you're seeing Philip Rivers come back at the age of 44. We thought at the time Elway's 38 was like, whoa. What did he play, 14 years? We thought that was old.
16, I think.
Was it 16? We thought that was old. Remember, everybody was really hoping he'd come back for that third year to try to do what no one has ever done.
Now science exists, and they know what nutrition is. So, like, they feed people all this healthy stuff and give them sports drinks and needles in the butt and, like, all this medication and stuff so they can last longer.
Needles in the butt? Where are you getting your information?
I don't know. I
think you watch too many movies.
Some of the linebackers for the Raiders are on steroids.
Okay. Can we not? Let's not. You already did one weird thing yesterday. Let's not keep doing it. Let's not spread false information. Let's not be a show that just likes to throw things out like a 4-letter network does. Let's not do that, Mike. Let's rise above that. Let's be better than who we are. I know you can do it, kind of. Let's not throw that out.
I don't understand.
Benjamin Albright's going to join me next to save me from Michael, as we need sometimes. Let's talk Broncos. Let's talk Packers. What does he think? How does he think this one's going to go down? Also, I want to get his thoughts on Vance Joseph potentially being a head coach next season and the Philip Rivers thing. It's fascinating. Whether it's going to work or not, it's still interesting. Albright coming up next, host of Broncos Country Tonight. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right. Welcome back into The Whole Show, 1234 the time. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, the Broncos are 11-2. You said it last week, like... I think you said, are they good? Or do we feel better, worse, about the same about that question? You know, are the Broncos a pretty darn good football team, or is it what a lot of national people still kind of say is we're still waiting to see them beat a team like the Packers this weekend?
Well, I think the truth is in the middle. They're obviously not a bad football team. They've won 11 games. So I think you get a better feeling after each win. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we are still left kind of wondering, is this football team any good? What is the playoff prognosis? How deep a run can they make? That kind of stuff. The Packers are interesting because they present a problem that I don't think the Broncos have had yet. They've played some decent offenses with some decent receivers, but this team has more speed than the Broncos have seen all year, and that's going to be interesting. You got Christian Watson, Reed, Wicks. They got plenty of Golden. They got plenty of guys who have plenty of speed, and they keep rotating them through. And then, oh, by the way, potentially Josh Jacobs, we'll see, who has been a thorn in the Broncos side dating back to his time with the Raiders. So this is an interesting challenge. They're a good defensive team, good offensive team, and they're just hitting their stride. It'll be a tough challenge.
Well, and you know, outside of Josh Jacobs, everybody you mentioned, this is kind of my takeaway with the Packers for Jordan Love. Like, he spreads the football around. There's not like necessarily that one guy that we've seen. You know, the Broncos go up last week, you got Bowers. We've seen maybe one or two guys where it's like, okay, these are big focal points. But the Packers, and credit to Jordan Love, man. I mean, he uses all of his receivers and tight ends.
Well, yeah, a little bit of Bo Nix to him, right? They look to spread the ball around. There's nobody that's kind of the guy. And, you know, that means that the teams can't focus in on taking away any one thing from you because, you know, you're multidimensional. And so, you know, it's a staple of the LaFleur offense. I think that's, good for them. But, you know, the flip side of that is it's tougher to defend. It's tougher to come up with game plans for that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think it'll be fascinating. I just, you know, my main concern again is the speed on the outside. They just have a lot of it, and that's, you know, that tends to present a problem for man defenses, which the Broncos mostly do.
What are you hearing about Josh Jacobs? Obviously, he's listed as questionable, but what are your sources surrounding this guy looking like as far as playing Sunday?
Well, the only two things, with him, it's a true game time decision. We don't know yet. Pat Bryant's going to be out for us. That's 100%. But on the flip side of that, you know, with them, we don't know with Josh Jacobs yet. And I think they want him to go if he can. I think it's just a question of seeing if he's able to. If not, it's not exactly a huge drop off to his replacement there at Emmanuel Wilson. So, wishing for Josh Jacobs not to be available, you might be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. This offense, again, for Green Bay, we talked about it, but just how good they are on third down, too. And obviously, we know how good on third down the Broncos defense is. So something's going to give here, man. It's like the Clash of the Titans coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it really kind of is. I mean, Broncos obviously a home dog, you know, which should tell something about how people view Green Bay, despite their, you know, their 9-win record at this point. And I think this is one of those ones that could be a legacy cementer in terms of where this team is. You know, you win this game, and I think the sky's the limit. I think this is the toughest game, if we're being honest, left on the schedule. You know, Kansas City on in Arrowhead on a short week, when you add those factors in, maybe a little tougher. But if you look at just on paper, putting two teams head to head, I think they're tougher than Jacksonville, Kansas City, or the Chargers. So I think that this really is kind of a legacy builder for this young team.
This is kind of the one, not that you want to lose any games, but if the Broncos were to lose one out of these final few games, this would be the one, I suppose. Looking at the AFC race between the Broncos and the Patriots, losing an NFC game would be the one to lose. But then again, you're trying to just prove, I think, at this point, that you are as good as that record indicates.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the playoff race math, this would be the one to lose. I honestly think the Kansas City game is the one. Like, just dump it. Don't risk injury. Just play your backups on Christmas, kind of the way Kansas City did to you, last year. And get everything ready for the Chargers and all that kind of stuff. I think you got to come out and make a statement. I think you come out and you've served notice. Hey, we've arrived. This isn't just taking the division. This is taking the league, and this is an opportunity to put an exclamation point on it.
Benjamin, what sticks out to you? Obviously, Micah Parsons on the defensive side for the Packers, they get sacks. It just, the games I've watched and just looking at this team, it's not as consistent of a pass rush as what the Broncos, because even if the Broncos aren't getting sacks, they're putting pressure on the quarterback, they're feeling it. It does kind of seem like with the Packers, it's all or nothing on the defensive side.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Rashawn Gary started the season so hot, and then he's just fallen off a cliff. Matter of fact, he's basically, I don't want to say he's been benched, but he's splitting reps with Kingsley Mbare now, and so he's not even like a full-fledged starter over there. So kind of interesting to see what happened there. Parsons is still getting his. That defense is mostly zone. It's not like a man defense like the Broncos. It's mostly zone, so they don't want to blitz you too much. They just want to send what they can and go from there. And I think that's it. I think when they find guys they can get home on, they do, and when they don't, they don't. And that's to their detriment because you can sort of pick it apart at that point.
All right, I've got several kind of around the league questions for you, but before we get there, how you feeling? Broncos or dogs at home in this game, Benjamin? Talk to me, man. How's it going down?
I think of the final four games, I think this is the most likely one the Broncos would lose. So I'm gonna leave it at that as far as that kind of stuff goes. My confidence level is a little bit lower for this one than it is for the others.
All right, bummer. But again, if you can still take care of the rest of the AFC games on your schedule, we're talking playoffs already, so it's exciting, and this could be a battle for sure. Philip Rivers, is this a real thing, Benjamin? I mean, are we really going to see Philip Rivers start at quarterback for the Colts?
I don't know if he's going to get the first snap, but he will definitely play on Sunday. This is a real thing. The last time something like this happened would have been Steve DeBerg, I believe, in that 1999 season. DeBerg had been out of the league for 5 years. He came back at 44 years old to fill in for the Falcons. So that would be the closest I could imagine. Now, the Falcons weren't exactly in the thick of a playoff race or anything like that, but they'd just been through four or five quarterbacks, I think it was, and they just out of bodies and needed to finish out a season. So that's the closest thing I can think of. I mean, Rivers obviously be the second NFL player to be a grandfather while playing.
Wow.
Brett Favre was the inaugural role on that. So we'll see. I will say Rivers knows this offense. I mean, it's the offense he was running as a high school coach down there in Alabama, so he knows the offense. The question is, can he execute? And that remains to be seen.
I mean, how do you view this story? Like, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, odds are maybe not good, but man, the story is so fascinating. This is a Disney movie waiting to happen, Benjamin.
I think they already did this with baseball, didn't they, with Dennis Quaid and the rookie?
Yeah,
I mean, can Quaid just strap some pads back on, resurrect his character from any given Sunday, and go back out there? Cap needs one more run. As far as that kind of stuff goes, I think it is, and I think it's also fun. I think it's one of those things, like, everybody's rooting for him. Philip Rivers was known as one of the consummate smack talkers when he played. It was all clean, doesn't cuss, but one of the most consummate smack talkers in the league. And everybody who played against him, guys that played against him, are lining up to root for him in this endeavor, which sort of says something about who he was as a player, who he is as a player. And I think there's something to everybody sitting on the couch thinking about, if I could just lace him up one more time, kind of thing. I think there's an element of that. So I think there's sort of a rooting for underdog story here that I think everybody's rooting for, it except for maybe Colts opponents.
Yeah, is Philip Rivers, like, as we stand today, a Hall of Famer?
Well, he should be. He's in the top six all time in passing yardage, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. If you're going to put guys like Roethlisberger, who, by the way, he can pass, repass in terms of overall passing yardage, if he gets, I think, 700 yards, maybe 800, I have to go back and look. You know, if you're going to put guys like Roethlisberger, Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, Rivers blows them away in terms of statistical accomplishment. He just didn't have as good of teams and as good of luck and make it to the Super Bowl because he was trapped in a division that had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady most of his career, or his whole career, really. So, you know, I think, yes, to make a short story long, he would be a Hall of Famer to me.
I'm really interested in this story. It's cool. Is Vance Joseph going to be a head coach next season, Benjamin?
I believe he will.
To the Giants? Is that what you're hearing?
That's one of the teams that would be in play. If Cincinnati fires their head coach, he'd be in play there. If Miami fires their head coach, he'd be in play there. If Arizona, which I don't believe they will, but if Arizona fires their head coach, he could be in play there. He's going to get looks, and I believe he will be a head coach. It's just a question of where it's going to be. I kind of like the idea of you know, him and Davis Webb up there in New York. Webb, of course, played quarterback in New York. He played for Brian Daboll. He knows Brian Dable's system, and so the transition to what he wants to run from a system he knows and Jackson Dart already knows would be a great fit.
Yeah, that would be. Well, good for Vance Joseph, though, man. I mean, what a crazy story for him. You know, being fired by the Broncos, a lot of fans were really happy to see him leave. Then he comes back as a defensive coordinator, still has his ups and downs. That Miami game was awful, and survives. And now look what's happened. The last 2 years, they've had arguably the best defense. What a story by surrounding Vance Joseph.
Yeah, and there's sort of a symmetry there, too, because you think about it, his mentor, the guy who was his mentor, is Wade Phillips. And Wade Phillips sort of had the same thing, too, as head coach of the Broncos. People were glad that they moved on. And then, you know, he comes back as a defensive coordinator. They win the Super Bowl and all that. And there's sort of like a little bit of symmetry there between mentor and mentee.
Yeah, I love it. Is Joe Burrow okay? I mean, he sounded pretty down in the dumps yesterday, man.
Yeah, I think that press conference up to some Simon and Garfunkel, man. Like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Joe Burrow. He said, I was like, are you going to pull the Andy Luck here and just bounce, dude? Or, you know what? I don't know if it's something personal going on or what, but he's clearly in his head and not having fun anymore. I think part of that's the organization he's with. But that organization's catered to him. They paid him. They paid the receivers. They gutted the defense in order to pay the guys that he wanted to pay. And, you know, now you're seeing, hey, look, you know, you're losing games. You're scoring 30 points a game, still losing games. Like, you know, you got to have a defense in the NFL. So I think that, you know, as much as I like Zach Taylor, I think he's done a good job with what he's had in Cincinnati. I think you got to let him go, bring a defensive guy in like a Vance Joseph that can build a defense up while they've got a pre-built offense and try to take advantage of the window that's left for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Benjamin Albright, love kind of going around the league with you, my friend. On the college side, I saw a lot of your posts on the Michigan stuff too, man. What a crazy story. That one, as we get more information, just gets a little stranger with every post, with every story.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for the wife and kids there. I mean, those three daughters of his didn't ask for any of this, and that's going to follow him forever. The wife, that's going to follow her forever. And, you know, the stain of these kinds of things, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, the stain of those kinds of things from men not thinking and doing dumb stuff, you know, it can have a wide-ranging fallout. In Moore's case, the actions afterwards are even worse, allegedly breaking into her place and threatening to take his own life. I would be surprised at this point if he ever coaches again.
How about her, too? I mean, will she work in college football again? I'm curious about that, too, because obviously the relationship was against the rules.
Yeah, her dad's a scout for the Bears. I don't know. I assume he'll find her a landing spot as far as that goes, but certainly college football will be tough. Maybe, you know, maybe some kind of pro, you know, type of assistant gig. But my sympathy for her is significantly less. Is, you know, she knew what she was getting into when she got into that situation, and she willingly got into that situation. So my sympathy for her is significantly lessened.
Yeah, it's a wild story too, man. There's so many crazy things surrounding college football, and then you get this story. Certainly a not great for Michigan, for the NCAA. Benjamin, always appreciate you, man. I hope you're wrong, but I don't know. I'm doing my picks later. I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this game too, man. So I don't know. I may go with you on this. I'm not sure yet.
We'll see. I'll keep the reverse jinx streak alive and continue to pick against the Broncos in my weekly picks just to keep the reverse jinx streak alive. We'll see if it has the staying power to beat the Green Bay Packers this week.
We all have our part to play, and you play it beautifully.
Yes.
We'll catch up with you next Friday, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. He likes the Packers to win, Mike. He likes the Packers to win.
I'm going to disagree with him on that
one. What? What? Really? You think the Broncos are going to win?
I believe the Broncos to win.
No. 48 minutes after the hour. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up, man. Dancing with himself's got a fresh mullet. Fresh dew. Ready for the show today. I'm excited about that.
You know, he's dancing with himself or dancing in the streets, but when he's around you guys, he's dancing with the stars.
That was pretty good, Mike. Wow, that was good. Well done,
buddy.
Is it
because I called you a star?
Yes, 100%. I was waiting to make fun of you for that until you said stars. That'll do. That'll do, Mike. We'll be right back.
Presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's time to break up with bad internet and experience Allo Fiber with Allo. You can experience service with no contract, simplified billing, a direct fiber line that goes straight to your house, and 24/7 customer support that won't end in you having a conversation with a robot. That's Allo Fiber. Visit them online at allofiber.com. Coming up in the next hour, the final hour of the show, we'll talk to Tanner Schwint, the dude down the hall, dancing. We're going to get into the quarterback toilet bowl. Well, I'm sure we'll talk Broncos and Packers with the fellas as well. Sometimes it gets wacky in here on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. So excited about that. And then we have the pick, Mike. The pick. And I'm being 100% honest with you right now. I have yet to make my decision.
But Brady, the pick, is it on Friday?
It's on Friday.
Picks are on Friday.
Yeah, pick is on Friday. Pick is on Friday. Everybody knows that. And it's later today.
So the pick and the picks are on Friday.
Well, the picks are no longer, not until next year, because all the teams are done. I only have one. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Mike. We lost last week, though, because Pete Carroll and the Mafia got to each other, and the Raiders covered. So, Broncos have let me down a lot. I think I missed the Broncos more than anything. Picked them to win a lot, but I've also picked them to cover. And that has just not been the case. All right, final hour of the show coming up. The fellas will join me in a roundtable discussion inside the Allo Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.